Welcome to The Lounge, your source for news, pop culture, and sports from a millennial perspective. And tonight, sitting in, you have a guest host. That would be me, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur. Oh, I get some applause, too. I appreciate that. Entrepreneur and into all things underdog stuff. Out here exploring how underdogs get access to the people and resources we need on our come-ups and our comebacks. With that, I want to introduce our first guest of the night who's going to help us pivot and get our mind right, our money right. It is Ash Cash. He is one of the nation's top personal finance experts, dubbed as the hip-hop financial motivator. He uses a culturally responsive approach in teaching financial literacy and entrepreneurship. He is a speaker, best-selling author of 7 books, and is best known for helping people maximize their full potentials by giving them the inspiration, tools, and resources needed to live their best lives. And you can go find out more about Ash Cash on his website, but we don't have to go find out more on his website because we got him on the air right now. Ash Cash, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Happy New Year 2019. 2000 and Grind Team. That's what we're
going to
start calling it.
That's the new name?
Grind Time.
The Grind Time?
It's Grind Time, baby. 2000 and Grind Team. That's it.
Can I use that the rest of the night? Can I keep saying it?
You can keep saying it, but I just made it up when I was sitting with you now. And so let me do a quick trademark before I put it on social media.
You know, there's a lot of people who listen to this show. You better go get it.
Hey, listen. If I see a trademark for 2000 and Grind Team coming from Philly, I'm coming for you.
The reason why I didn't pay too much attention to you because I'm typing in Grind Time on my Google search right now. I'm just
absolutely.
Well, hey, what's up, man? I appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
Nah, thank you for having me. As always, man, I appreciate you, brother. You know, it's time for us to get our mind right, our money right, especially around this time. So I appreciate you for having me.
Thank you, man. So earlier in the show, I talked about the theme being tune in and hook up. And some folks were like, well, Gregory, what are you talking about? And I'm like, not literally, but tune in and hook up was actually the tagline for YouTube when it first launched. It was going to be a video upload dating site. Mm. And then they realized that ain't working. And so they pivoted. They didn't exit their entire plan. They were like, oh, maybe folks can upload any type of video, and obviously the rest is history. They made a quick pivot, and now all of a sudden they look like geniuses.
Oh, absolutely.
And what I've been talking about tonight is that we might all just be an actual pivot away from looking like geniuses and having things work out, and that can be in our business lives, it can be in our personal lives, our financial lives. And so I wanted to have some guests on tonight that can help folks maybe do a pivot in their own personal or professional life to get things right for the new year. Mm-hmm. But first, how's your 2019 going so far?
Oh, man, it's going awesome, man. It's going awesome. It started, out really fast. You know, it's been a busy 2000 and Grind Team so far because, you know, I literally for the last 3-4 days I've been working 16 hours trying to, you know, get people to work. You know, like so, it's been good though. You know, so it's been exciting. It's been a lot of grind going on behind the scenes because there's a lot of big plans that we are putting into fruition to help save more lives as it relates to the finances. So it's been good.
Hey, financial freedom is my only hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So with that, there's some folks who, before they can get ready for the new year, they're still dealing with maybe some choices they made in last year, especially during the holidays. I actually came across a poll by Harris Polling, and it says 69% of Americans would skip exchanging Christmas gifts if their friends and family agreed to it. And then another 43% of people said they felt pressure by the tradition to spend more than they could afford during the holidays. So Ash, there's some people out there who might be, they want to get their mind right, money right, but they're already starting in a hole. Yep. What would you say to folks who might be starting 2019 financially not that fit?
Nah, so we're gonna keep the theme, right?
2000 and Grind Team.
2000 and Grind Team, but we're gonna keep the theme. You know, when you talked about YouTube making a pivot, I think that's a fitting theme for those who are not starting off, you know, in the positive, right? So they have to catch up or whatever the case may be. The good thing about it is, like you said, it's about a pivot, right? That story was so perfect because when you think about YouTube didn't say, you know what, let's go back to the drawing board. Let's start all over. Let's figure this thing out. They said, you know what? We have this good idea. But let's pivot a little bit, and then now we have what's a multi-billion-dollar company, right?
Yep.
So what people need to do with their finances is exactly that. They need to pivot. If you are driving in your car and you take a wrong turn somewhere and you realize that you're lost or whatever the case may be, you don't go back to where you started just so you could get back to your destination. What does the GPS system do? The GPS system recalculates from where you are. And so I think that no matter where you are in your financial journey, there is no reason for you to look back. You don't have to look back and say, man, let me figure out what I did wrong and what's this, what's that. No. You know where you are right now, today. Create a plan to see where you want to go and calculate the steps that it takes to get there from where you are right now. Just pivot. Just recalculate, recalibrate, and start to head towards your destination. That's the only thing you need to focus on is where you're going, not where you've been.
I love that. Now, with that, just in case folks are buying what you like, they're into it. They're like, yes, I'm going to pivot. But they're not quite sure what the first, let's say, one or two or three steps should be. What are some basics that everyone should have to get that pivot going or to keep whatever momentum they might have been building?
No, absolutely. That's a great question. It's a plan, right? And so if we keep the theme of pivoting, we keep the theme of a GPS system trying to get to a destination. If you don't have the coordinates, if you don't have the final destination for your vehicle, you are never going to get to that destination. And so the first step is to figure out where do you want to go financially this year, right? You need to create a plan. You just say, you know, where is it that I want to go, and this is my destination. And now that I know my destination, what are the steps that it's going to take me to get there? And you can't just say, oh, I'm going to save more money this year or I'm going to spend less this year. It has to be smart. It has to be specific, measurable, achievable, realistic time bound, because you need to say, you know what, in 2019, I will save $500 a month to save $6,000 to go into my emergency fund. If that's the goal, then it has to be spelled out. You have to be specific about it. You have to be able to measure it. You have to look at your current situation to see is it achievable? Is it realistic based on all the bills and expenses or how much you make? Is it realistic? And then you have to give it a deadline. Is it time bound? When will you arrive at your destination? You do those things, right? That's the first step. It's really just figuring it out. But then also, you also have to see what you're working with, mm-hmm. right? And so I suggest that, you know, I know a lot of people want to start today and, you know, they're like, all right, new year, new me, I'm going to start fixing my finances. But what I would say is that do a spending diary. Before you set up any plan, you got to know where is your money going today. And if you haven't kept track of it yet, you know, do a spending diary and figure out, all right, each time I spend money, let me see where the money is going. So now when it's time to set up my budget, set up my financial plan, I already know where the leaks are, where I'm spending money, where can I improve, and then you'll be able to set up your 2000 grind team in a financially fit way.
That's what I'm talking about. So, and I want to just reiterate, it wasn't just about making the plan, but it's having specific how much by when type of details around it and knowing where you're starting from by actually literally documenting what your spending habits.
Absolutely. You know, because that's the thing. That's a lot of times we have intentions, right? But intentions don't really matter if there isn't action behind those intentions. And so we can intend to spend better. We can intend to, pay down debt. We can intend to do all of those things. But it's not real until it's written down, until it's thought out, until it's a plan, and then until you act on that actual plan.
Very true. And I appreciate the diary piece because it reminds me of another resolution a lot of people have, which is I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get in the gym. And I've heard people say, I'm going to go to the gym 7 days a week with this new membership. And if they would have did a workout diary, they would have realized that they were only going to the gym once a month. There's no way they're going to go from going to the gym once a month that their new goal to start the year should be going to the gym 7 days a week. It's not realistic.
Right.
So I love the diary piece so that you can kind of assess where you are and have specific goals. I'm sure things like having a budget also work in there too. All right. We're coming up on the new year. One of the big events that happens as we get into the new year, especially in popular culture, is the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
And I want to get your thoughts about hip hop because you are known as the hip hop financial motivator. Also, I love to hear your points of view on things going on in the news and the culture. And we're going to talk about Jay-Z, about Travis Scott, about money, Super Bowls, owning things. Let's go, man. So the Super Bowl is coming up. And later in the show, it's the start of the year. So I'm going to talk later in the show about 2019 predictions. And I'm going to throw one out there to you and see what your thoughts are. Is this going to happen for sure or unlikely in 2019 that Travis Scott is going to actually perform at the Super Bowl? And for those who may not know who Travis Scott is, this is Travis Scott right here. Young and flame here in sicko mode. Made this here with all the ice on in the booth. At the gate outside, when they pull up, they give me loose. Yeah, jump out, boys. That's Nike boys hopping out coat. That's Travis Scott, just in case you didn't know who Travis Scott was. Ash Cash, is Travis Scott going to perform at the Super Bowl? Give us a 2019 prediction.
Man, I don't know, because, like, you know, I think that he was excited to do it, but I think there's a lot of pressure, especially, you know, the big homie, right? The big homie, Jehovah, is already trying to put some pressure on him. I heard Meek Mill was putting some pressure on him. So I don't know. You know, I think that, you know, we're in a space where people are very conscious of what they do and how it's going to affect their fan base. So I don't think that if he doesn't perform, it's going to be because of what he, you know, what he believes in. I think that if ultimately the people around him advise him that it's going to mess up his money, that he might not perform.
We'll see. I'm going to save to later in the show what I think is going to happen, but we'll see. It's interesting to watch because we have folks like LeBron James out here talking about the NFL and believing that the owners have somewhat of a slave mentality in their relationship to the players. We obviously had Colin Kaepernick taking the knee and still hasn't been employed by them. And to your point, talking about Hove and Jigga Man, Jay has declined to perform at the Super Bowl. Nicki Minaj has, Cardi B has, Mary J. Crispy Chicken Fried Lettuce. Mary J. Blige has been. But I couldn't resist. But there's been a lot of folks who said no. So we'll see what happens. And we'll talk some more about that when we get into all the 2019 predictions. But with that said, you have something in common with Travis Scott.
Oh, absolutely.
Travis Scott is connected to Jay-Z and Kanye West. And Ash Cash is actually connected to Jay-Z and Kanye West. And let me tell the folks how. You have written two books, one each of them. One relates to Kanye, one relates to Jay-Z. Can you tell the folks a little bit about, let's start with the Jay-Z book. What's your connection to Jay-Z?
Man, so, you know, back in June of 2017, Jehovah, the Honorable Sean Carter, put out a classic album called 444. And in the album, you know, he says financial freedom's our only hope. And he was really, you know, giving us the blueprint, pun intended, around, you know, how to make sure that we fix our credit, get, focus on generational wealth, cooperative economics, all of the financial tools that, our community needs in order to, you know, take our lives to the next level, and understanding that in this climate, especially with, you know, the current president that we have right now, in this climate, financial freedom is our only hope. We got to take back our power. And so when I heard the album, first and foremost, I couldn't get past the second track, Story of OJ, because he was really like breaking down credit and financial freedom. But I decided that I would first teach a class. So I teach college students at conferences as well, but I teach about financial freedom. So I originally did a class teaching the financial lessons I learned from 444. A lot of the it was well received. And long story short, you know, as an author, as someone who felt like as a financial educator, somebody who felt like they had to fulfill their purpose of teaching, I decided to write a book based on 444, and it's called The Wake-Up Call, Financial Lessons Learned from 444, plus a step-by-step guide on how to implement each financial principle, and it was well-received.
You're being humble there. It was more than well received. It's still ranked, I believe, online on Amazon as one of the top books in its category.
Number nine, bro. A year later, we still top 10. Like, man, God is great.
Yes, indeed. And you've been on countless shows and some big ones, Sway, some other things. So I appreciate the humility, but I want folks to also in 2000, Grind Teen, you also get to acknowledge yourself out there, folks, when you do some good stuff. And Ash Cash is out here doing some good stuff. Then your connection to Kanye, you also wrote a book about Kanye. What's the name of it? And what's at least one line from Kanye that maybe we can learn something about, at least from the old Kanye, if we can't learn anything from the new one?
Right. So the name of the book is Making Sense of Kanye, A Spiritual Guide to Financial Freedom, Peace, Love, and Happiness. And it's actually, a book about, financial freedom, right? It's about spirituality. It's about mental health. And, the difference, I think, between the two was, I was interpreting Jay-Z's words, as it related to financial freedom. And in this particular book, Making Sense of Kanye, I was interpreting some of what Kanye was saying because, a lot of what he was saying was, made us raise our eyebrow. And so I wanted to make sense because, sometimes within craziness, and I'm not calling him crazy, but within, all of the craziness that's happening with social media and memes and sound bites, we might lose the message that's being said. And so I wanted to make sense of it. One of the things one of the verses from his album, Yay, when he says, it's not even a verse, it's like an ad lib, he says. And he says, last night I thought about killing you, but I love myself more than I love you. And so I never kill myself, right? But then he says, say it out loud to see how it feels. Right. And I think that part, not the part about killing you, but the part about saying it out loud to see how it feels. I think that, that is an important message as it relates to mental health. A lot of times people have these thoughts about whatever it is, these dark thoughts. Right. And they suppress their thoughts and because they care about what other people think. And, sometimes you have to let it go. Right. Because there's beauty on the other side of darkness. And so sometimes you have to just say it out loud so it can pass through you and you can start healing yourself. And so that was one of the lessons that we, that we got there. And an old Kanye, Good Life, right, where he says, I closed my eyes and imagined the good life before I had it. I closed my eyes and imagined. So I think, that's also a principle that's in the book, but then also that I know you live by, I live by. We're visionaries, right? We could see our success before it's tangible in the physical, and that's how we are able to manifest our dreams and manifest the life that we live. So those are two for you.
Hey, shout out to old Kanye, and shout out to you for making sense of Kanye. Hey. We appreciate
it was tough,
you.
Though. I'm not gonna lie. It was tough to make sense out of Kanye, but. Somebody had to do it.
Hey, we appreciate you. You take on the tough task out there. You hip hop motivator. You get to cover hip hop, all of it, even old and new Kanye. With that, it's the new year, and a lot of folks are making resolutions. They might have things on their bucket list that they've been wanting to do for years. That this might be the year that they're gonna make 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those things happen. And you know what's on a lot of people's list, or at least they dream about it, is writing a book. And I know there's some people listening right now who have a story to tell, may want to tell it, but aren't quite sure how to do it, how to get started. And the cool thing is, you're not just a financial motivator. You're also someone who has published at least 7 books. And we just mentioned one of them right now is ranked in the top 10 on Amazon. What if folks want to put on their bucket list this year that they want to write a book? Can you help them do that?
Oh, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. So one of the things, I'm gonna quote my big bro Jay-Z, where he says, I ain't telling you to sell drugs, not hope that that's so hopefully you have to go through that. And so for me, my drugs were books, and when I first self-published my book, it did horrible. So I don't want people to go through that. I don't want people to go through what it takes to try to figure out self-publishing yourself. And so I decided to create a course called Mind Right, Write Right, you know, how to write and publish your book in 90 days or less. And just to kind of give context, my first book I put out in 2009, and it was, so it's going to actually been, you know, in April of 2019, it'll be my 10-year anniversary of putting this book out. And so my first year, I sold about 80 books, 80 copies. And it was really a grind. Really, I spent too much money. I had a lot of books to sit in the garage. And then fast forward, my latest book, the Jay-Z book, the Wake Up Call, came out in January of 2018. And I've actually sold more copies of that book than I've sold of books in my whole 9 years, because I finally figured something out. I figured out the blueprint. I figured out the secret sauce on how.
Pun intended there.
The book.
Pun intended. Sorry? With the blue. You figured out the blueprint?
Absolutely. Pun intended. I figured out the blueprint, you know? And one thing I want people to understand is that Jay-Z's album came out in June 30th, and my book was done by December, right? And was released in January of 2018. So that literally 6 months to write a whole book. And then, you know, the Kanye book took me 2 months to write. Hmm. So I think that the important part is, not only am I going to teach you how to write and publish a book in 90 days or less, but I'm also going to show you, you know, how to write a quality book, but a quicker time for those who are busy, those who may think they don't have time to write. You know, I am married, I have two kids, and I run five businesses, you know, as an entrepreneur. So. You know, I'm super busy too, but I was able to put out two books last year, both doing very, very well.
Well, also shout out to you for having multiple businesses and multiple streams of income. That is definitely part of having financial freedom.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned the hard times, right? You launched your first book, but you learned from it, and you have been pivoting from that first book to make things get better and better each time. What's at least one thing someone should think about before they write their first book?
Man, so the very first thing you should think about is the end, right? Think about the end. Have the end in mind. When someone reads your book, when your reader reads your book, what do you want them to get out of the book, right? And start from there. Do not start with, oh, I got a great story, I just want to write this story, because at the end of the day, you're not writing for you. You know, you're literally writing this book because you want others to read your story. But what do you want them to get out of your story? And I think that's one of the biggest things that I learned when I wrote my first book. I was just like, hey, I got all this knowledge, I want to put it out there. But I didn't do the proper research to figure out who my target market was. I didn't realize, or I didn't really, you know, kind of think about the end result, like what I wanted them to get out of the book. And so I would tell anybody who's writing a book right now to don't start writing a book, you know, from you know, where you want to start. You know, start with the end. Figure out what do you want people to get from this book, and then work your way backwards by outlining. All right, if I want people to learn this thing from this book, and then so what are the steps that it's going to take to get them to learn it, and then you start writing.
I love that. It's the idea of making sure folks know who the book is for and what is, as they say in entertainment sometimes or the arts, what's the premise of the book? And then you can figure out the plot. That's good stuff. Now, that's the what I should do before I start it. And I know when folks reach out to you, and we'll get to like how folks can get in touch with you, they'll get even more than these little tidbits here. But for folks who, once they get into writing the book, so that they can get to the end, what's at least one thing they should know about a tip that helps them actually write the book?
Man, the biggest thing that has saved my life when I was writing books is do not write the book. And I think that people don't realize, do not write the book.
What?
Do not write it. Under no circumstances should you write the book. And what do I mean by that? I have dictated all of my books going forward. And the reason why you want to do that is because when you think about writing something, it goes from your brain, from, you know, to your fingertips, and then you have to either type it or write it down. But think about right now, like we're having a conversation, and if I'm teaching you something, you know, the thoughts are coming to my head, and within less than a second, they're coming out my mouth. And so it's easier for somebody to tell a story. It's easier for somebody to teach something, to say it with words. And so technology has been such a blessing for us. And if somebody takes an hour to just dictate and have a conversation and teach something, they can get equivalent to sitting down and writing for 4 hours, right? So 1 hour of dictation is the equivalent to 4 hours of writing. And so now, after you dictate, you know what? I got to stop. I'm getting too much.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm going to ask you before we get out here how to get in touch with you. Now, you're like I'm about to make a parallel to bring it back to one of our favorite artists. You're like the Jay-Z of writing books. You just go into the booth and you start talking, and then there's lyrics.
That's it.
You can write them down later.
I'm writing anything down all off the top of the dome. You know what I'm saying? One take. You know what I'm saying? And that's how you guys do it.
I'm
the hobo writing books. I like that.
I appreciate that, because now folks know that they should know the premise, who's it for, and then start literally talking out their plot.
#HeldMeDown 7 summers. You know?
I'm not mad at you. 2000 and grind teen is happening and is in full effect. Ash, man, yo, I appreciate you, brother.
Nah, likewise.
A whole lot. And on top of that, not only do I love talking to you and you help folks figure out how they can get on the right track in terms of getting their financial goals and being specific about them in 2019, and also doing a diary of how they're spending their money, then for folks who have on their bucket list writing a book, they can get started right now. Start thinking about what that premise is, and then they just get to go in the booth and start talking. They can be the Jay-Z of authors.
I want to do this one thing though. They got to go to MindWrite. So MindWrite and Write WRITE WRITE.com. But for your listeners, I have a special offer. If they put in the coupon code "Tell My Story 2019," they can get 25% off.
And that also helps with their financial goals, saving some money and also making some good stuff happen. With that, if folks want more Ash Cash, and they should, how can they get in touch with you? How can they work with you?
Man, so they could definitely check out my website, iamashcash.com, or follow me on all social media platforms. Same handle, iamashcash. I am very responsive. So on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, I am Ash Cash.
I appreciate you, brother. Everybody go out there and follow him. It's 2000 and grind teen, as Ash says. And if he doesn't do it during this break, I'm probably going to go type it in now and see if anybody has that URL now. You know, I would never do that. If I did, I'd then hold it for you. I appreciate it always, man. And we will be talking very soon. Happy New Year to you and to your family. And we'll talk soon.
I appreciate you, brother.
All right, now talk to you. That was Ash Cash, the financial motivator, the hip hop financial motivator, talking to us about how we can pivot in our financial life, get our mind right, money right. And also, if we want to write a book, how to do it. With that, tonight, the theme has been pivoting. Everybody looks like a genius once they get it right. But at first, sometimes we just, you know, make some mistakes. We don't know what's going on. We could be like YouTube. Tune in and hook up. That was the original YouTube premise. They were going to be a online video streaming dating site, and that did not work.
I still don't believe you.
I played the clip, Eric. It's real.
I still don't believe you. I believe you, but I still don't believe you.
They pivoted. They went from tune in and hook up to broadcast yourself.
That's like when you look at a certain situation that someone will tell you, like in a situation, and you see it, and you go, I still don't believe you. It's right in front of you.
It's true. We're all
proven. I understand that.
We're all just one pivot away from being geniuses. And so today we have guests on that can help each of us do a pivot, whether it's in our financial life. We had Ash Cash on, the financial motivator, talking about how we can get our mind right and money right in the new year. Later in the show, in the third hour, we have Asha Davis, who is an ad exec, a writer, and a rising star comic. She's going to talk to us about how folks are pivoting in their side hustle to make it their main hustle. And then coming up literally right now, we're going to have Minda Hartz, who's going to help us pivot and get things where we want them in our corporate life. Coming up next, we have Minda Hartz. She is an adjunct assistant professor of public service of NYU's Robert F. Wagner Graduate School of Public Service. She is the founder of The Memo LLC, a career development company for women of color. In 2016, she was nominated as a changemaker at the White House State of Women Summit. Eric, we may need you to do an Obama ad lib at some point. In 2018, she was named one of 25 emerging innovators by American Express. And Minda's debut book, The Memo, is coming out in the fall 2019. And there's more. She also has a podcast called Secure the Seat. And up next, which means like right now, we have Minda Hartz joining the show. Minda, are you there?
I am here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being on. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
How has 2019 been treating you so far?
I can't complain. I can't. You know, we're what, day three in? Not bad. I'm optimistic.
Okay, so far it's been a great year?
So far, so good.
I love it. We'll see if we can keep that rolling for the next 362 days of the year. Appreciate you for joining the show. Now, one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on is this is a time of year where folks are trying to get things right in their life. It could be their money, their job, their side hustle. And I know one of the things you do is help folks make things happen, especially in their corporate lives. And specifically women of color having a seat at the table. You have something that caught my attention called the Women of Color Equity Initiative. What's that all about?
Yes, and as you were talking about previously about pivoting, you know, in the corporate and nonprofit world, leaders need to pivot and add more women of color to the table, to leadership positions. And so I'm optimistic in 2019 with the help of the Women of Color Equity Initiative. It is a sourcing career tool to help put more women of color in management and leadership roles. I'm piloting a program of over 300 women of color that are within this sourcing tool to help leverage their experience and partner with companies who want to make women of color a priority in management and in leadership roles. And we are barely represented in many organizations in Fortune 500 companies. So I'm here ready, willing, and able, along with my sisters in the database, to make sure that we have our seat at the table.
I love it. You out here salonging things, getting folks a seat at the table.
Hey.
I ain't mad at you. Now, how did you end up getting into this whole idea of helping women of color getting a seat at the table? Did you have the table pulled out from under you at some point? Did you just, you've made it already and you want to give back? How did you end up being in this space?
It's funny, Gregory, because sometimes I like stop in the middle of the day. I'm like, how did I get here? Where did all this land? And it's funny because I spent 15 years in corporate and nonprofit roles, and I, through sponsorship, had a seat at the table, which was great, but I was always one of the only ones in the room. And when I mean the only one, the only black woman or woman in the room. And so that gets lonely. It gets isolating. And so my thought is, when I created the Memo, the career development platform for women of color, was to, along with my co-founder, Lauren, shout out to Lauren, it was something that I had inside of me that would allow us to be seen, to be heard, to let us know, let people know that our experiences as women of color are different than those of our counterparts, and that we have to acknowledge those differences. And so I more so went on this journey just to create a space for us to be seen and heard, and have those moments and those conversations that are kind of hard to have. And so through that, I guess you could say I found my pivot. And it's been something that I just couldn't stop if you tried to put me back in the bottle. You know, like, genie is out of the bottle, and I'm just out here trying to more so create impact, because that's how we change. And I want to impress upon those who are women of color to bring other women of color along with you. And if you are an ally who's missing in the room that you're in, make sure that you, you know, hook a sister up.
Hey, and we could all use some support along the way, because it's not about aptitude or attitude. Oftentimes it's about opportunity.
That access, yeah.
With that, is there a certain age range that you normally focus in? We're, you know, a show mostly for millennials here, but, you know, we don't discriminate. We want everybody to call in and listen and enjoy it. Is there a certain age group of the population that you focus on?
So equal opportunity provider. I would say that depending on what platform you engage with me on, if you're taking a class for me at NYU, then it's probably more millennial-ish. But then the podcast that I host, Secure the Seat, that is millennial to probably baby boomer. And then at the Memo, we tend to, probably our sweet spot, I would say, is probably millennial. So, but we still love everybody because it's important to have diversity across generations.
That is very true, and we agree with you. It's equal opportunity for folks who want to have things work out differently and get their pivot on. Now, is there anything that comes to mind for whether it's the Memo or whether it's you as a professor, any pivots you have coming up in the near future?
You know, like you said, we're all one pivot away.
We're all one pivot away from being geniuses.
I was dying laughing at that. But, you know, for me, I really reference like the prophet Jay-Z. I rather die enormous than live dormant. And that is how I'm on it this year. So if I have to do some pivoting along the way, then let's do it. But my main thing is keeping women of color at the forefront and making sure that we secure our seat. Now, we're not just at the table taking up space. We're making stuff happen.
That is very cool. And I want to talk to you some more about how women of color can actually start to make things happen in whatever respective situation they might be in, whether it's at the start of their career or, you know, years into it. All right. With that, Minda, for folks who might be at the start of their journey, women of color, what's at least one or two tips that you would give them early in their career, especially since the streets are watching, to plug another Jay-Z reference? How can they start to get things right and get that seat at the table if they're early in their career? At least one or two tips for them.
Yes. Well, since we are in references, I guess I'll bust out a little bit of Nas and "The World Is Yours." I mean, as a woman of color, the world is yours. You are your best advocate. And so oftentimes I tell myself this, but also I tell other women, is that you are your best advocate. Nobody knows how hard you work better than you. Nobody can tell your story better than you can articulate it. And so make sure that you ask for what you want early on. Make sure that your managers and your colleagues know what you want out of your career path, because you can't be ambivalent about your career and you can't leave your success in the hands of anyone else. And I think that's, if you're early in your career or late in your career, you always have to be your best advocate.
Yeah, I mean, what do they say? Closed mouths don't get fed. And just putting our heads down and working isn't enough, and especially oftentimes not enough for people of color and women of color also. And I appreciate that perspective. Now, for folks who might be a little later in their career, let's say they're a decade in, they've been doing their thing for a little while, but they're kind of like, you know, at a point where maybe it's going to work out, maybe it's not. What have you seen in your experience that helps folks who've been in the game for a little while do what's needed to get their seat at the table?
Yeah, I think it's similar too, because I've seen, you know, I'm getting up in age too, and I work with other seasoned women of color, and I think it's, don't count yourself out. You still have so much left to give. You have so much institutional knowledge and skill set, so leverage those opportunities and work across. Right now, Gregory, we're in the most diverse generational time period where boomers, Gen X, millennials, I forget what comes after the millennials, Zennials?
Gen Y?
Gen Y?
I forget. Those guys.
Yeah, them children.
Them.
But there's five generations working together, and so if you're on the upper end of that, figure out how you can leverage your expertise, your skill set, and put some of those folks in your network and kind of, you know, leverage one another's skill set. So I think it's not saying, hey, I got to compete against these people, but how can we help leverage each other's skill set and expertise? So I think changing our mindset and out of competition and learning how we can leverage one another's skill set. So get to know the millennial, get to know the Gen Z, and leverage those relationships, because we both have something to offer each other.
Yeah, it's like to use some of the hip hop or just even music, collabos and collaboration, not be in competition with one another. And I love the whole idea of the mindset of just not counting yourself out. Now, with that, I think all these things are needed, whether you're at the start of your career, whether you're further along in, whether it's ask for what you want. Don't count yourself out. Make sure you're learning from others around you. And that's what we get to do on our end. But I got a question for you because, you know, we always talk about what we got to do. I'd love to get your perspective on what do the people who, the managers, the executive teams, what do they got to do? If they're listening right now, and I hope they are, you're listening to The Lounge on 96.1 FM. And we talk about stuff going on with millennials in the world. If they're listening right now, what advice would you give them? What do they need to do their part? Because things take two, right? It takes two to make a thing go right. What do folks on the management side get to do to have it work out better for folks to have a seat at the table?
Yeah, this is a matrimony. This is a marriage. So you're absolutely right. It takes two. And so women of color are leaning in. So companies and organizations need to lean into us. And we've done our part. We have the education. We're some of the most educated women in the country. And so now it's time for them to open up access to these opportunities for us. And so that was one of the reasons going back to the Women of Color Equity Initiative is we're here. We're out here doing our thing, shining. We just need the opportunities. And so they have to open up those doors and allow us to get in. And so they need to lean into us. They need to listen to us and let us lead. No longer can you make decisions for people that are not in the room. So that requires diversity around your table and ask diverse talent what they need and believe them.
You used an interesting phrase there. You said that management gets to lean in. Is that because we've, at least, or in this case, the women of color have already been leaning in? Does lean in work? Don't work? Or maybe we had the lean in place in the wrong place? Maybe management should have been leaning in?
Women of color, people of color, we've been leaning in, and it's the lack of access to opportunity. So, you know, we've done our part. Now it's time for companies and organizations to meet us and lean into us so that we can trust that they're invested in our success.
I 100% agree. And I believe Michelle Obama in her recent book tour agreed too, right? Wasn't she out here telling folks that lean in doesn't necessarily work for women of color?
Yeah, she did, because our experience in the workplace is different from those who are not of color, and so we have to acknowledge those differences.
Very true. And speaking of acknowledging things, Michelle Obama launched her book called Becoming, and it's selling a lot of books. She's doing a lot of books where she's selling out places like she's an artist.
She's dropping bars out in the arenas, yeah.
I feel like the Obamas had a successful 2018.
Yeah, the Obamas 2018 was a big year for them. Yeah, and it's just more to come. And so Michelle Obama has her book out. And speaking of books, Mynda Hearts has a book coming out too. Michelle Obama had hers in the fall of 2018. And word on the street is you have a book coming out in the fall of 2019. What's the name of that book and what can folks expect from it?
Yes, may I have that same energy that Michelle Obama is having?
Hey, not just energy, sales, events. I saw memes that, like, her special boots. Like, you should have all, I'm wishing all of that on you for 2019.
Yes. My hands are open to the heavens to receive. But my book is called The Memo, What Women of Color Need to Know to Secure a Seat at the Table. And it comes out with Hachette Book Group, Steel Press, in August 20th, 2019. And so pre-orders will be available in a few months. But basically, it's just what are our experiences like in the workplace and talking about some of those systemic barriers that keep us from having a seat at the table.
That is good stuff. And I can't wait for it to come out. And this is how we know Mynda Hearts is big time. She has a book deal. She has folks expecting it to happen and already announcing it much before it's coming. That's big stuff. I'm not mad at you.
We're out here. We're making moves, right? We're pivoting.
Out here for sure.
Yes.
With that, two quick questions before we get out of here. One is, what's your biggest dream for 2019 for women of color?
That we flood the rooms and we flood the tables. That when you look at the About Us page on companies and organizations, that you see our faces. That would be a huge win for women of color this year. And so that is my hope, and that's why I'm out here. It's not for the likes and follows, it's for the impact.
That is something that I am rooting for too for 2019. They said 2018 was the year of the woman. I'm hoping, to your point, 2019 is the year of women of color and flooding all the places and spaces we have a right to be in.
Absolutely.
And now I asked you about everybody else. I gotta ask you about you. What's been the heart's biggest dream for 2019 for you?
That's a great question. And for me, I think, you know, completing my manuscript and having it available to everyone is just a dream come true. And so having a successful book that helps other women see them, women of color specifically, see themselves, and then makes those who aren't of color think through how they can be better partners in this journey to equity. That would be huge for me. And so I'm just living life like it's golden.
Shout out to Philly and Jill Scott. That was well played there. That was, I see what you did there. And Philly appreciates that too. Shout out to Jill Scott and Neil So and all the artists from Philly we represent. With that, if folks want more Men to Hearts, and guess what, folks? You should want more Men to Hearts. How can folks follow you? And then how can folks, even more importantly, how can they work with you?
Yeah, so follow me. Go to my website, mendahearts.com, and you can connect with me on the Women of Color Equity Initiative, my company, The Memo, and the podcast. Everything's at mendahearts.com, and I am most active on Twitter at mendahearts. And if you are an influencer, and I think everyone who has influence in their company or organization, connect with me. Let's see how we can add more women of color to the rooms that you're in.
Hey, we appreciate you. Shout out to Menda Hearts, NYU public service professor and founder of the Memo LLC. Thank you so much for joining the lounge, and Happy New Year to you. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
All right, now talk to you. That was Menda Hearts helping us figure out if we want to pivot in the workplace, especially if you're a woman of color. That's what she does. Helps folks make that happen. And we appreciate it. I love her 2019 big dream for women with colors that literally flood. Like in my head, I can envision that. It's just flooding spaces. We just up in there. And we should be. Should be up in there. Shouldn't be just the same old same. Speaking of flooding places, I wonder if women are going to be flooding the White House in 2020. Wonder if we'll have a woman on the top of the ticket as the president or as the vice president or both, maybe. With that, today's theme has been tune in and hook up. And I know that sounds a little strange, but if you've been listening to the show, you know what I mean. It's the original tagline for YouTube was tune in and hook up. And they realize that that's not working. People don't want to upload videos to date each other. They don't want to do that. So they pivoted and they made the video streaming open to everybody to upload anything they want. And then the rest is history. Now they look like geniuses. You know, my point is we're all probably just one pivot away from being geniuses too. And we had Ash Cash helping us pivot and get our finances right. We have Menda Hearts talking about how women of color can get a seat at the table and get that right. We're all just one pivot away. And now we're going to have Asha Davis, comedian, writer, also rising star comedian and proud Torontonian. She's going to join us today to talk about what it's like to be a rising star comic, and especially for folks who want to turn their side hustle into the main hustle. You want to stick around for this conversation, and hopefully we'll have some time to also talk about 2019 predictions. Do we have Asha Davis on the line?
Hello, hello.
Look at that. You get applause. Hold on. Eric, I didn't get any applause. Did I get applause? We had a whole nother level now, Asha. This is different. This is like, you know, they do it for real over here.
The realest.
Y'all know how to make a girl feel special, man.
The realest do it big. The realest her.
And at some point, I don't know if this is going to happen. We'll see. But just so you know, Eric, Asha does a very good Trump impersonation. And now I know you do an Obama impersonation. I might have you two have a debate at some point before we get out of here tonight.
It'll be a short one.
Is Trump going to say anything back? I guess not. See?
Not at all. Can't ever.
Just speak for yourself.
I do. All 8 years of it. How about you?
I'm going to just let Obama, just special guest Obama and Trump just have it out tonight, and the ratings are going to go through the roof. With that, Asha Davis, with that, Asha Destiny Davis, I should say, with that, how's your 2019 going so far?
So far, so good. I got to say, so far, so great.
Cool. All 3 days. Loving it.
All 3 days. Love it.
Very cool. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about is because a lot of folks this year are trying to pivot or get things going with their side hustle and make it their main hustle. And also, I know a lot of people thought that they were funny over the holidays. They probably made some people laugh at Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving, New Year's, and they think that they can be a comic too. And I want you to help them get the real deal. Just big picture, what's it like being a stand-up comedian? What's the hustle like?
You know, it's really fun. But you got to be dedicated to it, and you have to be willing to be more comfortable saying things about yourself on stage than you might be saying things to people in a conversation in real life, you know, because really it's really about sort of being out there. And I will say, you know, I definitely thought that, you know, New York City doing stand-up was going to be a bit more of like, you know, a cutthroat environment. And I've got to say it's been actually pretty dope. The comedic community is very supportive of up-and-coming comics as long as they see that you're putting in the work. It's really about the time and honing your craft and taking it seriously in order to make it.
I appreciate that perspective. And I love that you said that it is fun, but you also made sure folks know that it's also a lot of work. And there's people who are going to support you along the way, which is very cool.
Yeah.
You could be doing almost anything. I always kind of say to myself, people I come in contact with who are talented, they're like very talented at so many things. You're an advertising executive. You're a writer. You're a comedian. You could do probably almost anything. But one of the places you spend a lot of your time and passion is stand-up comedy. Why do you do it?
You know, everybody needs to have an outlet, I think, you know, and for me, mine is stand-up comedy. It's like therapy. It's therapeutic, you know, and there's something about it where, you know, it's kind of like trying to describe why did you marry the person you married. I don't know. I just knew that I liked them, you know? And that's what it is with stand-up comedy. It's like, I don't really know, because it can be terrifying sometimes. It can be completely bonkers, and you could be bombing, or you could be having the greatest night of your life, and you really just don't know until you get up on that stage. But something about that feeling is just addictive. It's like a drug. It's crazy.
Well, I hope it works out better than most marriages do, because I think a lot of them end in divorce. I just
gotta bring these morbid statistics. I'm trying to keep it optimistic, man. It's just the third day of the year.
I know. I'm just saying. I want it to be better than the marriage statistic. I want you to be doing comedy as long as you want to.
Golly, McGooligan.
I'm just playing with you. I know that you are married to comedy. With that, for folks
but I'm single in real life. So follow me on Instagram. Slide into my DM if you want to.
Hey, you heard it here, folks. There you go. Asha Destiny at Asha Destiny on Instagram. Holla at a sister. So I was going
to
ask.
My New Year's resolution was to not be single by the end of 2019.
Hey, we're just all one pivot away from being geniuses. We're all one pivot away.
One pivot.
You're one pivot away from being married to both a man and to comedy. It could all happen.
Right.
So with that, I was going to say, what's the at least one must-do thing that people should do to be successful as a stand-up comedian? But maybe I should ask, what's one must-do thing people should do if they're going to slide into your DMs to get off to a good start?
I think it's the same answer for both, actually. Be honest. Honesty is key. You know, people can, whether you're on stage or whether you're in the DMs, people can see the fakeness and, you know, really the way to be successful in life is to just be true to yourself and be honest.
That is awesome advice. It makes me think about when we were talking earlier about you share and have to be willing to share stuff on stage that sometimes you may not be used to sharing in offstage. And there's a spirit of vulnerability, but also I love the word that there's a spirit of honesty to really be successful in stand-up and to be successful in life.
Exactly. And to just be a good human being. Just stop all the lies.
You hear that, folks? If you're going to slide up in the DMs, no matter who's DM, just be honest. Be honest while you're there.
Be honest.
And be honest on the stage. Now, it'd be awesome if life could be great all the time. If all the days of the year could be like these first 3 days of the year where everybody's in a good mood and things seem to be going well. But I have to ask you, because, you know, we talk, keep it real, be honest here. Have you ever been booed off stage? Because I think that's probably a lot of people's biggest fear, whether it's public speaking or something as out there as being a stand-up comic. Have you ever had to deal with people being like, boo, get her out of here, where's the Sandman?
So, no, I've never been booed off stage, but I have bombed in the sense of what comics say. And in that sense, what bombing is that, you know, a particular crowd isn't really reacting to your jokes in the way that you want them to react. And it could be the exact same joke the night before did not bomb, you know? And so, you know, when I've been in that experience, it was because, you know, I had a heckler in the crowd and they sort of threw me off my set. And by engaging with the heckler, my timing was off. And when you do stand up, it's all about the amount of minutes you get. So when they wave you that your time is almost up, no matter where you're at, you got to wrap it up, you know, so that can kind of mess up your flow a little bit. And yeah, you know, that was really disheartening for me to experience that. And, you know, any stand up will tell you, or anybody that's had that experience, it kind of like you have nightmares about it for days. Like, you know, it really sort of eats at you. And the only way to get over it is to just get back out there and have a great show.
Whew, that sounds like a lot to have to deal with. So it sounds like it was a challenging moment, but not the worst thing in the world. Would you say it was kind of like a Tiffany Haddish moment?
No, Tiffany Haddish, absolutely not. Absolutely zero in common with the Tiffany Haddish moment.
And just for folks who may not know, can you tell folks what recently happened with Tiffany? Because she bombed, but maybe that's the wrong description of it?
Yeah, that's not what bombing is. So essentially, for anybody that knows, for anybody that doesn't know, New Year's Eve, Tiffany Haddish did a stand-up comedy show, and the night before, she, you know, got smashed, got drunk, was partying all night, and then she knew she had a show to do that day. She was headlining the show. It was her show, and she basically forgot her jokes, you know, and essentially halfway through the show, not only forgot her jokes, but like literally could not even do comedy, you know, and then it ended up turning into let's do drinks on stage. You know, that's not bombing, is doing jokes and the crowd might not be receptive, not even knowing what you're going to say, not like forgetting your whole set. Like that would be impossible. There's no way I could forget. You know what I mean? Like my whole set. That's impossible. That would never happen.
So then I got to ask you, because I'm in Philly right now, home of Kevin Hart, and Kevin Hart has been known to be a very big defender and starting some movies with Tiffany Haddish. And my man, Cat Williams, came at Tiffany and said maybe she hasn't earned her way and maybe there's other people better than her, even though she had a very successful 2018. Asha Destiny, I gotta ask you, was Cat Williams right about Tiffany Haddish?
I think that Tiffany is a great actress. I think I love seeing her comedically in movies and such. But for me personally, from a stand-up perspective, you know, that's just a different skill set. And maybe, you know, I think, you know, Kat may have gone a little bit overboard. I definitely am not a hater on Tiffany Haddish. I respect her hustle and everything that she's accomplished. I'm not hating. I just think from a stand-up perspective, maybe that's not what she's supposed to be doing right now.
Oh, Eric says shots fired.
That lead up was amazing, by the way. I was like loading that shotgun for like 5 minutes straight.
She was killing her softly.
Everybody has somebody just load. I just want to talk to him. I just polished the gun. I just want to talk to him.
It's almost like when someone says, you know, with all due respect.
Whole time looking you in your eye, just... I'm going to share with you how I feel, that how this is maybe not for you, but, you know.
I respect you immensely.
That would have been even better, Eric, if you would have did in the Obama voice.
That's just disrespectful. That's just cold. I believe he loves Tiffany Haddish as well, so I'm definitely not going to do that.
Obama, we appreciate you. All right, speaking of comedians, and now that we've... I guess we put a little silencer on that for Tiffany Haddish. Real quick, before we go to break, and hopefully you can stick around, Asha, because we're coming up on a break, but I want to, hopefully you can stick around. We finish up our conversation, also talk about some 2019 predictions. But before we go to break, speaking of comedians and stand-up, I'm sure she didn't make your top five, but you never know. Who are some of your top comedians of all time or inspirations?
For me, definitely Dave Chappelle, Richard Pryor, Chris Rock, Ellen DeGeneres. I don't know if anybody's seen Ellen's new stand-up on Netflix. It's amazing, but go back and watch her old stand-up, like HBO specials. Ellen DeGeneres is one of the best comics ever. I would say Patrice O'Neill is also sick, and Bill Burr is in my top list.
Okay, see, I'm going to have to go Google some of these people, because I know some of them, but ooh, some I'm not as familiar with the last guy you just mentioned.
Bill Burr?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to look him up. What you missing out, man?
You know my pop culture. You know, I'm still working on it out here. We all got things to work on.
Okay.
And at a later date, we'll have to talk about Chris, because Chris Rock was back in the news with an old tape that's new again with him and Ricky Gervais. Yeah. And
I know.
That's a whole...
I almost didn't want to say him, but, you know, yeah.
Yay, he can...
I watched that whole 40-minute episode, by the way. It makes it worse.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable about it all, but that doesn't mean that he still can't be an inspiration, and at the same time, he can now be someone who we might look at a little differently. If you listen or been listening to the show, you know what I mean by tune in and hook up. It's the original tagline of YouTube, and it didn't work. They thought they were going to be a dating site. They pivoted, and now they're just a video streaming site.
All about you.
Yeah, anything you want to load, just broadcast yourself is now their current tagline. We're all just one pivot away from being geniuses, and we have Asha Davis joining us, ad exec, writer, rising star comedian, and specifically wanted to have her on because there's some folks who might be just one pivot away of making their side hustle their main hustle, and she's been letting us know about the fun of being a stand-up comedian, but also the work it takes and the honesty it takes to make it happen. So if you want to slide up in her DM or be on stage, be honest. It works both places. With that, Asha Davis, you still with us? Asha Destiny Davis?
One pivot away from not being single.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's the 2019. That's the new mantra. We all just one pivot away.
2020 vision. I see you.
It may look like I'm squinting my eyes right now, but I see something. I see something. Speaking of 2019, though, and it's the start of the year, everybody's a new year, new me, all that stuff going on. I do want to know, though, Asha Destiny, what is one of your biggest dreams for 2019?
You know, for me, it's all about the multiple income stream right now. Right now, I'm in a really cool pivot position in life where I have an opportunity to focus on myself in the way that I would focus on my job for an extended period of time. And so really looking at what are ways to monetize my gifts is a blessing for 2019.
Hey, we're just one pivot away from monetizing our gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad at that. That's very cool. I might borrow some of that. Multiple streams of income, monetizing things. I like how you're rolling. I'm on board with that.
You know what? Just make sure I get the credit when you write the book.
Fair enough. I will definitely shout you out. And as you know, whenever I'm on a show someplace, I'm going to have you on too, so we can talk about it. That's how we roll. Yep. All right. With that, it's 2019, and are you up for some predictions?
Of course.
And Eric, are you going to join us?
Either me or Obama. It depends on how I feel.
Okay, fair enough. Well, one of you, I need either Obama or Eric to join in. We're going to do five predictions for 2019. You can either say for sure, for sure, or unlikely. Those are two choices. You can't say both because that would be no fun. And with that said, folks listening out there, we don't really know what's going to happen, but it's fun to talk about. And anybody who tells you they do, they don't. We're just honest enough to tell you we don't know.
You're really rolling with that honesty thing.
Yeah, I'm on a roll with it because if you want to slide up in DMs or be on stage or anything in life, you got to be honest. All right, be honest with your answers here.
You need music behind this? I just wanted to ask you.
No.
All right, I'm just asking.
Predictions, they can work without music.
All right.
People like predictions.
You're right.
Asha, don't people like predictions?
People love predictions. That's why the fortune cookie business is still around.
Exactly. Because of fortune cookies, we don't need music, Eric.
The theme just felt proper.
I thought you were saying that you didn't think people would like predictions, so that we need music.
I
didn't say that.
I just said there was music that felt proper in the segment. That's all I'm saying.
All right, five predictions. Number five, Trump resigns. Eric Nixon, what's going to happen? Is he going to resign? For sure. Unlikely.
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 You don't think he's going to resign?
Said unlikely. I want him to, but I don't think he's going to resign. I think they're going to have to force him out with a crowbar.
You think he's going to ride it till the wheels fall off?
I think he's going to. I don't think he has the gumption that Nixon had.
Not me, the president, by the way. My name is Eric Nixon.
At first, I'm like, why'd you say that, Eric? You're Obama tonight. But now I get it. You're also Nick.
Yeah.
You're like three people tonight. We have the lounge is packed tonight.
I could shoot somebody in the street and they would still love me. I am not resigning.
Bigly.
He's not resigning.
Honestly, I don't think there would be a crowbar big enough to get him out.
You too are.
You know what? That's disrespectful. You know, overweight people need love too.
I said him. I wasn't talking about anybody else.
I might just let you guys hash it out to the rest of the show. But we got four more predictions to do.
No, I was talking about his head. But go ahead, continue.
Talk about his ego.
Isn't there a song about that? Wasn't that a Beyonce song?
Big ego.
Yeah, whatever she was talking about. Well, Number four prediction for 2019: Michelle Obama announces she's running for POTUS.
Ladies first.
Hell no! Sorry, absolutely unlikely.
She's not going to be becoming the next president of the United States.
Absolutely. Michelle Dunn said she don't want no parts of that. Did you not watch any of her interviews?
I didn't say that. I thought she
unlikely.
Was
unlikely. Sorry. Record scratch. Unlikely is my answer, sir.
Let's see what her husband says.
We've had this conversation, and she's not interested. She didn't even want me in there.
All right, so far I agree with both of you, or I should say all 10 of you in the room right now. President Nixon, President Obama, Eric Nixon, Asha Destiny, Asha Davis, Trump, me.
Yeah.
All right, I agree with you so far. Trump's not resigning, unlikely, and Michelle Obama's not running. She's never even hinted at it. Number three, Travis Scott. Ooh, can we play the clip? Because I just want to hear the song.
Well, apparently you do.
I just do.
Let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
The right thing. Come on, bro. You're slipping.
What?
You're slipping. I pressed the button on and you over here.
Look,
you
got it?
That's not it.
That's not it.
That's clearly not it. I'm sorry. That's the wrong thing. My bad. Go ahead. Make this deal with all the ice on in the booth. At the gate outside, when they pull up, they give me loose. Yeah, jump out, boys. That's Nike boys hopping our coat. Okay, I'm sorry. That was me, though.
I'm saying. I know what Travis Scott sounds like, but some people don't. All right. Prediction number three. Travis Scott will perform at the Super Bowl. Eric Nixon.
I don't care.
That it's for sure or unlikely.
Unlikely, sure.
Asha.
He definitely is going to perform. Do you know his baby mom is a Kardashian? Jenner?
Oh, my God. Who keeps track of this? I don't.
What? We're supposed to. Isn't this the source, millennial source, for news, pop culture, and sports?
Important. Millennial news, pop culture, and sports.
The Super Bowl is watched by a lot of people.
I mean, now it's important.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, well, Asha just broke down why it's important.
You're only saying that because the Eagles have no chance.
Listen, I have my only conspiracies about sports in general. I'm the wrong one.
Y'all can't cut. Don't come I'm for the Eagles one. While I'm also
I have conspiracies about NFL games in general. You could tell. You could ask a lot of people.
Don't come for the Eagles.
And the numbers look okay for them to come to the Super Bowl. It's fine.
All right.
Again, I have my conspiracies about NFL and games in general.
All right, we got two more predictions because we're going to have to end the show soon. It's almost like time to go. I don't want to hear these last two predictions. So far, Cardi B, Andre 3000, Usher, Mary J, Nicki Minaj, a bunch of people said no, maybe Travis Scott.
Rihanna did too.
But I think he's going to do it just for the reasons you guys.
I absolutely think he will definitely positively do it.
All right, two rapid fire questions. The last two predictions. Number two, you will get engaged in 2019. Eric? Unlikely or for sure? You're taking longer than I thought on this one.
I don't think I answered it when you first asked me.
I know. We gotta go.
For sure, man. I was not expecting that.
For sure, Asha man. Destiny, are you getting engaged in 2019? For sure, unlikely.
Oh, man, it depends who flies up into my DMs.
You too.
Guys, at Asha Destiny, A-S-H-A.
Spell that for me one more time.
D-S-T-I-N-Y.
Is this you with the grayscale photo?
But before we get off the air, I will ask, how can people get in touch with you? Last prediction. Unlikely for sure. 2019 will be your best year yet. Eric.
Yes.
Asha.
For sure.
Asha.
Some really good years. You know what? I'm going to say yes. You know what? I'm saying yes.
No, this one you're supposed to say yes. That's the way I planned it. I need you to say yes.
Yeah.
We're ending on a good note. Everybody.
I don't know. 2008 was fantastic.
Don't do this to me, Asha. I need you to say yes.
Back 10 years.
This one's supposed to be a yes for all of us.
You said 8 or 18.
Yes.
And for everybody listening, I want it to be your best 2019 too. With that, Asha Davis, I appreciate having you on as always, and Philly appreciates you too. How can people get in touch with you if they want more Asha Davis?
Slide into my DMs on Instagram at Asha Destiny, A-S-H-A-D-E-S-T-I-N-Y, all one word.
I love it. I appreciate you, Asha. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Take care, Asha.
Bye now. With that, I'm gonna leave you with my favorite quote, and that is, Philly, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.